I think the artists that I grew up with in the Pacific Northwest, from Seattle, Portland, San Francisco, the greater Western U.S., are fabulous. And I love being surrounded by those works. I also began to think it might be fun to expand beyond art of the region, and I started collecting prints and multiples of what I'll call them modern masters in the United States, the post-World War II contemporary artists.
Well, let's take a look at a few of those. I know that I think this exhibit has some Roy Lichtenstein. Could we look at his first?
Sure, let's go in the other room and look at that.
Okay. Okay, and here's really a series of Lichtenstein prints.
This is a series that's called Bull Profile Series. And, you know, Roy Lichtenstein, if you think about him, he was born in 1923. He goes to Ohio State University, graduates in 1949 with a master's in art. And as he talked, and it's probably the most important thing I can say, is he always said the greatest influence in his life was a professor, Hoyt Sherman. And what he said is that Professor Sherman taught him how to see. And I think if there's a single statement that your listeners could hear from me, is that's what art is all about, is it's learning how to see. Now, this series of bulls is a fabulous example of Roy Lichtenstein's work because it combines several key themes. First, this series is actually paying homage, honoring Pablo Picasso, because Picasso did a series of bulls just like this prior to Roy Lichtenstein. And Picasso took a very representational image first of a bull, and then in one image after another began to deconstruct it. So the final image of Picasso's was totally abstract. Roy Lichtenstein, like most major artists, are always honoring the artists that came before them. And they're not copying them, but sometimes they're saying, boy, that work of Picasso or Matisse or whoever it would have been that came before Roy Lichtenstein was so influential and so important to him that he wanted to honor that artist by doing something similar, but in this case, Roy Lichtenstein's own version.
In a humorous interpretation, really.
Often humorous, but in this case, what he does is he starts off again with the first image of being a bull that if anyone looked at it, we'd say, that's a bull. And then he begins to, in the five other images, break it all down. So ultimately, we just see shapes and forms that most of us, if we looked at it, would not think at all that was a bull. So why is this piece so important? I think because it shows us themes that was important to Roy Lichtenstein. Throughout history, artists are always chroniclers of our time. They're always reflecting the political themes, the social mores, all the issues. Now, post-World War II, in the early 50s, when Roy Lichtenstein was starting to do his work, if you think about that time and place, it was after World War II, servicemen coming home, boom in suburbs, Levittown, houses being built, TV, probably the most important thing that happened in the 20th century. Suddenly, there was a time when a TV producer could have a TV show that would go out to millions of houses all at once, okay? And advertisers started, Clairol, all these others, telling us what our hair should look like, where we should go eat. So in my opinion, the pop artist, of which Roy Lichtenstein was one of the greats, okay, I think was trying to show us that two things. Art is all around us, and two, we need to always be careful about our identity and not be too influenced by all the media that we are being bombarded by. So back to the bull series, what he's doing here is saying, first, look at a bull. We tend to have a preconceived notion about a bull. But a bull also, if you look at it in another way, in the shape and form, becomes a very abstract figure. You know, it's funny. I'm sure a lot of your readers will say, ooh, contemporary art. Why can't they make these nice landscape scenes? And yet all you have to do is walk outside this museum and you look around Missoula and you're surrounded by mountains. And there's not a greater abstract form than the shape of the mountains, the hills, the valleys, the clouds. So with Roy Lichtenstein's bulls, why this is such a seminal piece is he's trying to tell us, hey, art is all around us, and also, we're all much more complex than that first sort of reaction we have to seeing another person, seeing a bull. And I think his message for me is take your time and realize we're all made up of lots of parts and facets of our personality in our life. Don't maybe be quite so quick to judge.
And learn to see.
And ultimately, learn to see.
Yeah, this is interesting. This is a very, very interesting series
right,
of prints
right.
here.
Now, Lorna Simpson is one of the preeminent African-American artists in the country today. She was born in 1960, so quite different than Roy Lichtenstein, born in 1923. So she's coming of age, if you think about her, born in 1960, 1980 she's 20. Okay, so think about the influences of what influenced her. Reverend Martin Luther King, we just celebrated Martin Luther King Day. In other words, the whole movement in this country to sort of really recognize the inequality in our race relations. Okay, she is a product of all the media, all the stories, all the Birmingham race riots and so forth when she was a young child. So what is this work about? It's called Wigs, and there are about 20 different images of hair. And it's on felt, a very tactile material. And then she has quotes. Now, my reaction to this is, and I think most people is, when you look at the backs of hair, it looks to me often like an African-American hairstyle, braids and beads and so forth. And then she throws a blonde in the middle of it. And what is she doing with this? I think what she's trying to do is, again, make us face that even if we don't think we stereotype people, even if we don't think we are prejudiced, how easy it is to fall into a trap of being quick to judge. She's grabbing us, shaking us up, and making us deal with our own values, our own attitudes, our thoughts, and ultimately our opinions about people.
And what a great image to use is hair and hairstyle. I mean, that so defines us often, doesn't it?
So defines us. Brilliant, brilliant work. Now, this work, for instance, and the reason why I'm so excited about it being part of this exhibition coming to Missoula, is this is an edition of 15. Okay? In other words, there are 15 examples of this that she did. Most of the others are all in museums. The Modern Museum of Art in New York, the Whitney Museum, the Chicago Institute of Art, all those major institutions have this work. They thought it was that important. Okay. Now, I don't mean to infer that my collection's important just because they have it. What I'm pleased about is that I have it in the collection. I feel so lucky, but that I'm getting it out to communities like Missoula so the people here don't have to go to New York to see this again, nationally significant work by a rising star in the art world that has been acclaimed for helping us deal with our attitudes about race relations.
I read a quote of yours that said, you don't collect to own, you collect to share.
I do. You know, I'm in the real estate business, and a business my father started in 1951, and I am very honored and proud, and I love the real estate business and get to work with a number of wonderful people. I want the value of those properties to go up. That's what we live on and helps me do all this. The art collection, I have no sense of ownership. I have a sense of stewardship. And I had a passion for art that my mother basically opened my eyes to. And I always honor her and thank her for that. And I guess the message there is, hey, parents, think about the importance of helping your children have a passion for the arts. Okay? There's nothing more important you can do in terms of helping them have good values and have an activity that adds balance to their life. So a pitch to all you moms and dads. But back to the art, I don't have any sense of ownership. No different than if I said to you, do you own those mountains around you here? Of course not. But programmatically what we're doing is we are able, I'm fortunate to be in a position where I have 8,000 prints and it keeps growing basically monthly. And we have a program where we've had 90 exhibitions that have gone to 56 museums. So we have 4 or 5 exhibitions like this traveling at any one time. We do it all for free. And then I'm working with Laura Millen, the wonderful director of the museum here. I asked about the outreach program. She said, we have a program where we bring in 5th grade students. I said, that's great. How many is that? She said, about 1,200. I said, what about the other grade school students? She says, we don't have enough money for that. I said, you figure out what that'll cost. We'll write you a check and cover that. And then I said, what else is in the community? And she said, well, there's an Indian reservation nearby. I said, we've worked with a lot of tribal leaders. We like that a lot. So we're also funding money to bring all the kids in from the reservation. And since two of the artists in this exhibition are Native Americans, we're also helping fund Joe Fetterson, one of the wonderful artists, to come over for a week in residence.
He's from the Colville
tribe.
Yeah.
And he'll be here for 2 weeks. So I hope all the parents and kids come in and get to see a major artist amidst these important national artists.
Well, Mr. Schnitzer, I look forward to seeing the whole exhibit. It's just been a treat to tour part of it with you. I've been speaking with Jordan Schnitzer, who is the owner of this collection of prints that's currently on display at the Missoula Art Museum. It's a pleasure. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you. Well, please, in closing, the museum is free. And as I've said, too many eyes don't wear out the art.